And since there were no secular studies, and they stayed in the cheder all the time, so usually in those 10 years, they got a great deal of Jewish education. Only the elite stayed after the age of Bar Mitzvah, because the economic situations were such that nobody could afford that. Well, most of them went to work immediately upon becoming Bar Mitzvah, and that was the end of their formal education. But during their entire life, they would come nightly to the shul. There always were classes in the shul. Everyone would join different groups of study. And their life revolved around the shul and about the religious life. The famous Rabbonim of Poland, whom we'll discuss at length when we discuss the Shulchan Aruch in a few weeks, the Ramor, Rav Moshe Isserlish of Krakow, and the Marshal, Rav Shlomo Luria of Lublin, and other great Rabbonim of the time, they put an indelible stamp on the country. And the stamp was Torah knowledge, the importance of Torah knowledge, the necessity of Torah knowledge, and the fact that is how the Jewish people were measured. And that's how individual Jews were measured. Again, since there was no other form of study, anyone who had a good mind, anyone who had an intellect, so to speak, his only outlet was in Torah and in the Talmud. There was no other outlet. He couldn't go off to Rutgers or to Harvard and take a course in political science or in physics or in any of the other things which are available to good minds today. And because of that, therefore, the study of Torah reached a very, very high plane. It was developed in Eastern Europe as perhaps it never was developed anywhere else in the world from the time of the Babylonian Talmud till that time. The second area of life, except for the religious life, was that the Jews had a type of autonomy, a governmental autonomy in Poland, beginning in the 1400s. That was called originally the Wad Arba Ha'arotzos, the Council of the Four Lands. Then sometimes it was the Council of the Three Lands, and sometimes the Council of the Five Lands. But basically, the four lands were what was called Poland Gadol, Congress Poland, which is Warsaw, the main part of Poland. Poland Cotton, small Poland, which is Galicia. Lithuania was the third. And Volhynia, which is Russian Poland, was the fourth. Later, the Ukraine was added. And also White Russia was added. But this was a council of elders who had temporal power. They had power. The power was granted them by royal fiat, by the government. And they had the power to collect taxes and to pass laws. The Jewish community are really the source by which we know what was going on in those communities during that time. Some of their laws were fascinating. They had a law, for instance, that no Jewish woman was allowed to own a fur coat. Because they said it would raise the enmity of the non-Jewish neighbors. So first of all, evidently there were Jews who could afford it. Because you can't make, if no one could afford it, there evidently were Jews who could afford it. Secondly, they realized the danger of exhibiting in front of their non-Jewish neighbors any success. And the law was punishable by a cherem. And a cherem in Eastern Europe was a matter to be reckoned with. You couldn't be married, you couldn't be buried. The Chevra Kadisha wouldn't deal with your body, which was a terrible punishment. Ostracized from the Jewish community. So today, you know, today Jews can drop out. They can go wherever they want. That was not the case in Poland. If you were a Jew and you were outside the Jewish community, you were nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And therefore, that was a very powerful weapon. They assessed people